was sitting at his table with his hands in his lap, quite as if he'd been waiting for Balfour to startle him out of a trance. He stood up in haste.
"Tom," he said, "what is it? Is something wrong? Why didn't you knock?"
The table at which he had been seated was properly a laboratory desk, the surface of which was pocked and worn, and mottled with spilled ink and chemicals. Today, however, it had been swept clean of the detritus of Lerventhal's trade, and covered with an embroidered cloth. In the centre was a little plate upon which a fat candle was burning.
"Oh," Balfour said. "Sorry, Ben. Hello there. Sorry, didn't mean to disturb you. I didn't mean to disturb you."
"But you are most welcome," said Lerventhal,
perceiving that Balfour was not bearing ill tidings after all, but had simply dropped in for a chat.
"Come in, out of the rain."
"Didn't mean to break your—"
"You haven't broken anything. Come in, close the door."
"It's not business, exactly," Balfour said by way of apology, knowing that Lerventhal's holy day was a day of rest. "It's not work, exactly. I just wanted to talk with you about something."
"It is never work talking with you," Lerventhal replied generously.
And then, for the fourth time,
"But you must come in."
At last Balfour stepped inside and closed the door. Lerventhal resumed his seat and folded his hands together. He said,
"I have long thought that, for the Jew, the newspaper business is the perfect occupation. No edition on Sunday, you see, and so the timing of the Shabbat is perfect. I have pity for my Christian competitors. They must spend their Sunday setting type and spreading ink ready for Monday. They cannot rest. When you came up the path just now, that was the subject of my thinking. Yes, hang up your coat, do sit down."
"I'm a Church of England man myself," said Balfour,
who, like many men of that religion, was made very uncomfortable by icons of faith. He eyed Lerventhal's candle with some wariness, quite as if his host had laid out a hair shirt or a metal cilice.
"What is on your mind, Tom?"
Benjamin Lerventhal was not at all displeased that his weekly observances had been interrupted, for his religion was of a very confident variety, and it was not in his nature to be self-doubting. He often broke his Shabbat vows in small ways, and did not chastise himself for it, for he was sensible of the difference between duty that is dreaded and duty that comes from love. He believed in the acuity of his own perception, and felt that whenever he broke the rules, he broke them for reasons that were right. He was also, it must be admitted, rather restless after 2 hours of unmediated prayer, for Lerventhal was an energetic spirit, and could not be without external stimulation for long.
"Listen," Balfour said now, placing his fingertips on the table between them. "I've just heard about Emery Staines."
"Ah," said Lerventhal, surprised. "Only just now? Your head has been buried in the sand, perhaps."
"Oh, I've been busy," said Balfour, eyeing the candle a second time.
For ever since he was a boy, he had not been able to sit before a candle without wanting to touch it, to sweep his index finger through the flame until it blackened, to mould the soft edges where the wax was warm, to dip his fingertip into the pool of molten heat, and then withdraw it, swiftly, so that the tallow formed a yellow cap over the pad of his finger, which blanched and constricted as it cooled.
"Too busy for the news?" said Lerventhal, teasing him.
"No, I've got a fellow in town, a political fellow."
"Oh, yes, the Honourable Lauderbeck," said Lerventhal.
He sat back in his chair.
"Well, I hope that he is reading my paper, even if you are not. He has featured in the pages enough."
"Yes, featured," said Balfour. "But listen, Ben, I wanted to ask you a question. I stopped in at the bank this morning, and I heard someone's been putting up notices in the paper on Mr. Staines' behalf, begging his return. Am I allowed to ask who placed them?"
"Certainly," Lerventhal said. "A notice is a public affair, and in any case, she left a box number at the bottom of the advertisement, as you might have seen. You only have to go to the post office and look at the boxes, and you will see her name.
She? Yes, you'll be surprised by this, said Lerventhal. It was one of our ladies of the night. Will you guess which one?
Lizzie? My Irish Lizzie?
Anna Wetherall.
Anna, said Balfour.
Yes, said Lerventhal, now smiling broadly, for he had an insider's sensibility, and enjoyed himself the most when he was permitted to occupy that role.
You wouldn't have guessed that, would you? She came to me not 2 days after Mr. Staines first disappeared. I tried to persuade her to wait until more time had passed. It seemed wasteful to advertise for a man's return when he was only 2 days gone. He might have merely walked into the gorge, I said, or ridden up the beach to the grey. He might be back tomorrow. So I told her. But she was adamant. She told me he had not departed, he had vanished. She was very clear on that. She used those very words.
Vanished? Echoed Balfour.
The poor girl had been tried at the courts that very morning, Lerventhal said. What rotten luck she has had this year past. She's a dear girl, Tom. Very dear.
Balfour frowned. He did not like to be told that Anna Wetherall was a dear girl.
Can't imagine it, he said aloud, and shook his head. Can't imagine it. The two of them. They're as chalk and cheese.
Chalk and cheese, echoed Lerventhal.
He took pleasure in foreign idioms.
Who is the chalk? Staines, I suppose, because of his quarrying.
Balfour did not seem to have heard him.
Did Anna give you any indication as to why she was asking after Staines? I mean, why?
She was attempting to make contact with him, of course, Lerventhal said. But that is not your question, I think.
I just meant...
But Balfour did not go on. Lerventhal was smiling.
It is hardly a wonder, Tom. If that fellow showed her the smallest ounce of affection, well...
What?
The editor made a clucking noise.
Well, you must admit it. Next to Mr. Staines, you and I are very grey indeed.
Balfour scowled. What was a bit of greyness? Grey hair dignified a man.
Here's another question, he said, changing the subject. What do you know about a man named Francis Carver?
Lerventhal raised his eyebrows.
Not a great deal, he said. I've heard